It's side two of the record on KUOW. It's Steve Scherer. I'm Ross Reynolds. And as is our wont this time of the week, we turn to Canada with Vaughn Palmer, columnist for the Vancouver Sun. He joins us each Wednesday with news from the north. Vaughn, we note today the passing of a longtime Canadian finance minister.
Yes, Canada's parliament, in fact, just adjourned for the day in respect of Jim Flaherty, our finance minister, who he was until just a few weeks ago, died suddenly at his home in Ottawa of a heart attack, a massive heart attack. And it's a shock, I guess. He was, other than the prime minister himself, the key figure in our conservative government since 2006 and respected and liked right across the political spectrum. Looking at our national news, our 24-hour stations just now, one of the more touching things is seeing our leader of the opposition, Thomas Mulcair, so his opponent, choking up as he expressed condolences to Flaherty's family over the sudden death. So I think it's a tribute to a guy. You know, when people look at Canada's financial performance in the world, generally fairly favorable in the OECD nations, a lot of the credit goes to two finance ministers, Paul Martin, who was the finance minister in the 90s, and Flaherty, who's been the finance minister for the last 8 years. Pillars of rectitude, guys who avoided doing anything reckless, struggled to balance budgets, to not have to do too much with taxes, to manage spending, and to keep our banks in good shape. We haven't had very many financial experiments in Canada, and I think it's one reason why we've avoided a lot of the troubles that other countries have avoided.
Sounds like some big shoes to fill.
Yeah, I just pass on to it, since we're doing breaking news, Ross. I think a lot of people, NPR listeners, would want to know this one. The CBC has just announced it is cutting 650 full-time jobs, so our public broadcaster. The main reason for this, it has a $130 million budgetary shortfall brought on by the loss starting next year of the broadcast rights to the National Hockey League. Those rights were snapped up by a cable company, which is going to broadcast them on various handheld platforms and cable feeds. The CBC losing the rights to Hockey Night in Canada, or to hockey in any event, after years, and they say they're going to be laying off 650 people, full-time jobs, getting out of the business of competing with private broadcasters for professional sports rights. So
that must have I assume that was a cash cow for the CBC.
Hockey's huge for Canadians. So, you know, I don't have a lot more detail on it, but my sympathies for my many friends and colleagues who work for the CBC. This is a big blow to the national broadcaster.
Vaughn, in other news from Canada, I understand there's been a changing of the guard in Quebec. There's a new premier. Who is he and what does he stand for?
Philippe Couillard is the fellow's name. He's a liberal. He is a neurosurgeon, so let's not have any jokes about government being tougher than brain surgery. And he was not expected to win the Quebec election when it was called a little over a month ago. The separatists were looking like they were cruising for a win. Then they started talking about how if they won the election, they might hold another referendum on Quebec leaving Canada. Quebecers, I think, in times of economic uncertainty, took one look at that promise and said, "I don't think so." And as a result, you've got the Separatist Party going down to defeat, one of the biggest defeats in its history. The leader of the party, Pauline Marois, losing her own seat in the Quebec Parliament and having to resign as leader. And a new premier in Quebec, Philippe Couillard, who says he's going to get on with managing the economy and working with the rest of Canada. Separatism is not on his radar screen.
Can the Quebec separatist movement overcome this electoral defeat?
Well, you know, it's been 20 years almost since we had our last referendum on Quebec leaving Canada. I don't think Quebecers will ever give up the option of using the threat to leave the country as a bargaining lever. But, you know, they say the younger generation in Quebec is looking at the economy, looking at the future, and that idea is fading. We'll see. As I said, I don't think it can ever be written off, but obviously this is a lot of Canadians are taking this as an encouraging sign, and I noticed the Canadian dollar has recovered a little bit this week against the American dollar, and I suspect that's the people that vote with their pocketbooks saying Canada looks a little more solid than it did, too.
I'm speaking with Vancouver Sun columnist Vaughn Palmer, and here's an issue, Vaughn, we've talked about for many, many years. It's the long-standing dispute between the U.S. and Canada over Canadian sewage dumped into the Strait of Juan de Fuca between the Olympic Peninsula and Vancouver Island. On the U.S. side, communities have paid a lot of money to treat that sewage. On the Canada side, for years, some claimed that, oh, these strong currents of the Strait would flush this sewage out. We didn't really need to worry about it. Now, there are plans for sewage treatment on Vancouver Island.
It just went sideways.
There's a setback. What's going on?
Well, the national government ordered the BC capital and gave it till 2020, which is still a long way off, to treat its sewage. And we had a plan to do that. We had an engineering study. We had a budget. And we had a location for the sewage treatment plant. It was going to be right at the mouth of the harbor in a local government jurisdiction called Esquimalt. And on Monday night, Esquimalt Council voted unanimously to reject the rezoning necessary to locate that sewage treatment plant there. Everybody's scrambling to figure out what it means, whether it means they have to go back and find another location, whether they're going to have to be ordered to do it. But our provincial government this week said they're not going to interfere. It's a decision for the local government, for the regional government here around the capital. But our Environment Minister, Mary Polak, pointing out yesterday that the city and the region are under orders from the national government to do this by 2020, and it's up to them to get going on it. It's going to take a while to build that sewage treatment plant. So, but this is a huge setback for the plan. I don't know where we're going to be, but, well, I can tell you this, Ross, we're going to be talking about this again.
Well, no surprise that a small community might be pushing back against a sewage treatment plant, but the fact that the provincial government is not going to put its foot down, it sounds like the national government of Canada is going to have to make this happen if it wants
to. Yeah, and it's not clear what they do if the local government just thumbs its nose at them. I mean, do they fine them? Do they send in the army? Do they start building it and send the bill? It's really not clear what happens to this, but, you know, if we got this thing open and up and running in 2020, it would be almost 30 years since my friend Joel Connolly first started making an issue of this in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, and local governments in the states started protesting and threatening a tourism boycott of Victoria if we didn't deal with this problem. So that's how long this has been going on.
Finally, Vaughn, for comedy, Toronto Mayor Rob Ford is the gift that just keeps on giving. Here's former President Bill Clinton on Jimmy Kimmel last week.
He has absolutely destroyed every stereotype people have about Canadians.
That he has. That he has.
Yeah, so, invariably, you know, the Canadians are upbeat, optimistic, can-do. They are embracing. They're inclusive. It's an amazingly
Who's
impressive...
more inclusive than him?
Rob Ford himself is getting in on the fun with a web reality show. Have you seen it?
He's been offered a reality TV show, I think, by the People. This is going to make the world forget Duck Dynasty for outrage. He's been offered a TV reality show. They better get going on it. The election's this fall. There may not be much reality around Rob Ford after that election, although you never know. You know, him and his brother Doug, if the vote splits the right way in Toronto, I suppose he might be back for another term, although it's kind of hard to believe that that would happen. Anyway, American reality TV smashing the stereotypes of Canadians.
You know, there's certainly a lot of humor around Rob Ford, but I have to admit to an undertone of wariness about we're kind of seeing a public figure kind of burning out right before our very eyes.
That is quite true. I mean, yes, it's outrageous and funny, and we've all had laughs, but there's a black humor tone to it. I think Jon Stewart put it well. One night he was having some fun at Rob Ford's expense, and then he looked in the camera and he said, "Get help." And really, frankly, get help.
Vaughn Palmer, he gives us some help every week on News from Canada. He's a columnist for the Vancouver Sun. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ross. Talk to you soon.
It's The Record on KUOW.